dra med seg Kessler.
Og skjutt! Skjutt
terrible, Maillot Jaune est pris dans la chute.
Que l'enchaînement des virages était extrêmement difficile.
Armstrong was waiting for some. It was even. Oh, what's happened there? What has happened there?
That, first in Norwegian, then French, and then English, is the sound of TV commentators getting really worked up about some key moments from recent Tour de France bike races. Run since 1903, this is the biggest sporting event of the summer in Europe, one that attracts millions of viewers and hundreds of thousands of spectators along the country roads of France. So, with the 2007 Tour just underway this past Saturday, let's find out how excited Canadians are about it all.
Could I ask you a very quick question?
Okay.
Are you watching the Tour this year?
No.
No, I'm not. No.
No, I'm not.
Which Tour?
The Tour de France.
No.
The bike race?
No.
Not interesting?
No.
Clearly there is something of a disconnect here. Maybe this is like soccer. We didn't grow up with it, so we just don't get it. But all is not lost. Things don't really heat up for another week. So I went out into the Toronto cycling community to get a little remedial lesson in how to watch the Tour. For 11 months a year, Tim Buckley is a Bay Street lawyer. But come the month of July, his routine changes.
I send a notice around to my office mates asking them not to disturb me between 9 o'clock and 11:30 each morning because I'm in conference. And I ask them to do nothing to disrupt the firm's email service because I'm glued to the screen watching the minute-by-minute update.
Just the man I needed to speak to. The only art in his 50th floor office was a photo of Lance Armstrong in his yellow jersey, sprawled on the ground, another rider toppled on top of him, and Jan Ulrich, a German rider, struggling to stay upright and avoid them both. This is one of the scenes the TV announcers were shouting about. So let's roll back the tape and let Tim explain what was going on.
Armstrong was waiting for somebody to pull in the flag, and now it was even. What has happened there?
Right, so this is in the Pyrenees. Armstrong was going too close to the crowd, and he hooked his handlebar into a kid's shopping bag and went down. He went down with Mayo and Ulrich. And at that time, Armstrong and Ulrich were a few kilometers from the top of the mountain, positioning themselves for the final fight. Then what Ulrich did is he sat up and he waited until Armstrong rejoined the fight, and then they resumed hostility. Armstrong had a terrific dose of adrenaline on board at that point. He realized that he could well lose the Tour if something else like that happened, and he attacked Ulrich shortly after he rejoined and made the decisive break and the decisive lead that day. So it was a turning point in the Tour. A great 15 minutes of theater.
Of course, to get that 15 minutes of theater, you had to watch 5 hours of television coverage. But that is the kind of blast of excitement that keeps fans glued to the television for 3 weeks each July. To get a bigger overall picture of the race, I headed to Bicycle Specialties, a high-end bike store run by Mike Berry. He's something of a road racing icon here in Toronto. His son Michael is probably Canada's best racer right now. He rides for Lance Armstrong's former team. Mike Sr. first gave me a broad strokes overview of how a multi-day stage race like this works.
The Tour or any other of the stage races, it's the cumulative time over the length of the race, the Tour de France, 21 days. So each rider's time for each stage is added, and at the end of the 21 days, the rider with the least amount of time is the winner.
Still, it's hard to make sense of this sea of fluorescent jerseys. Tim and Mike explained how the teams are structured and how tough a sport this really is.
It has a leader, and it has eight other riders whose job is to support that leader and get him into a position where he can do as well as possible, if not win. And there are perhaps five guys with a realistic chance of winning. And the rest are in supporting roles. And people think, well, how can they go into a race when they have no chance of winning? But it's the same thing as in hockey. There are only five guys in the NHL who are going to win the scoring championships. Those are the Gretzky types. But the rest all have roles. They're either penalty killers, they're tough guys, they're wingers that set up people. But everyone has a role. And a cycling team's no different.
There's nine riders per team. And amongst those nine, you'll have climbers, people that are generally very light, skinny guys that can go up mountains pretty quickly. And you have the sprinters who can't climb hills. Very often they'll, in a mountain stage, the sprinters will be way back. They just can't climb hills. But they'll be very, very good on the flat stages. So you have sprinters, you have climbers, and you have they call rouleurs, which are the guys that are good on rolling terrain, can are really powerful, can just go to the front and batter the wind.
Now these guys, when I've watched them on television, 5 minutes after they get to the finish of even a grueling mountain climb, they look fresh as daisies and they're just chatting and doing interviews. How is that possible after 5-6 hours of furious exercise?
I think you're seeing the riders, the ones who are being interviewed, those are the riders who have done well that day, and they've got that shot of adrenaline. If you go around and take a look inside the team cars, you'll see guys, they'll have peeled off their clothing. You see there are a bunch of bone racks. They're shelled, they're grimy, their eyes are sunken, and you realize that in about 18 hours they have to start up again. These are skinny guys. They have low immune responses by this time in the season. They're getting the flu. We get laid up for the flu. They have a 5 or 6 hour ride in 80 and 90 degree heat. It's a hard job. You wouldn't want to sign up for this unless you really loved it.
So now that you're ready to give up baseball for cycling, you'll want to know how to watch and what to watch. Tim Buckley will be glued to TSN and OLN's daily live coverage each morning. They also do an evening recap. YouTube, though, is a great way to catch highlights. For my money, the mountain stages are the most dramatic. This is where the tour is often won and lost, and where the greatest suffering happens. This year, the Pyrenees follows about a week after the Alps, and July 25th should be a big day. This is when the riders cross the Col d'Aubisque High Mountain Pass, a mythically tortuous climb. In fact, back in 1910, when the tour first went through the mountains, just to toughen things up a bit, the eventual winner, on exiting the Pyrenees, accused the organizers of being assassins. For Take 5, I'm Peter Stock.